May it please the court, Gary Friedman for the appellants. The third element of the claim of malicious interference with employment in Mississippi requires the plaintiff to prove the defendant terminated him with the unlawful purpose of causing damage with or without, right or justifiable cause. It's in the disjunctive. If you have right, you don't need justifiable cause. In this case, Mayor Estes had both a statutory right and a common law right to do exactly what he did, recommend, it's actually non-hire, but for our purposes, the termination of the plaintiff. Pursuant to statute, Mayor Estes had the right to do what he did. In fact, he had the duty to do it. As an at-will employee, Mr. Gibson was subject to termination for good reason, bad reason, or no reason at all, excepting those reasons that have been recognized as independently unlawful. So for that additional reason, he had an absolute right to recommend the termination of Mr. Gibson. Obviously, the mayor was in a position of responsibility with regard to Mr. Gibson's employment, and in fact, the district court found that as a fact in its opinion denying our post-trial motion. The plaintiff originally had an independent, unlawful act pled, a First Amendment claim, but conceded that.
Let me ask a question. Suppose you had a fellow walking down the street in Jackson just staggering drunk, and the police officer sees him and arrests him, as it was to be his duty. And it turned out that this staggering drunk is a lifelong childhood friend of the sheriff. And he said, and he tells the guy, no, you don't, I'm gonna, when he comes in, you arrested my friend, you're fired. Now, he has a right, he's an at-will employee, and under Mississippi, he can do that, even though it's a retaliation for the officer carrying out his duty. Is that what you're arguing?
Well, let me make sure I understand the question. Who is this staggering drunk employed
by the
sheriff?
It's a friend of the sheriff's. And the police officer makes the mistake of arresting the guy that's dead drunk, and the police officer and the sheriff fires him for arresting his friend.
But who is he employed by, the police?
Let's say just as here.
So he's employed by the sheriff?
Yeah. Well, I mean, the sheriff has a right under Mississippi law to his at-will employee, and you say he can fire him for any reason at all.
Unless it is an independent, unlawful reason, for example, violation of his constitutional rights.
Well, what do you say about those facts, though, when he's firing him for carrying out his lawful duties?
Now, who are we firing, the police officer?
Never mind.
No, I'm sorry.
You're not answering my question.
I'm not following, I'm sorry.
Well, go on to see the rest of your...
Well, if it's the police officer getting fired for arresting the drunk, the sheriff is not an employment relationship with the police officer. He's a third party. There's no.
I understand your causation issue here. My hypothetical calculatedly does not include the argument here of presenting it to a counsel who makes the firing. I'm saying that assuming that the sheriff here, just as I said, has directly the right, he hires the person and he can fire the person under the right under Mississippi law. Right. My question is it lawful for him to fire him for carrying out his duty?
It is lawful. The answer would be, again, yes, for good reason, bad reason, or no reason at all. He can't fire him because of his race, sex, religion. He can't fire him because of exercise of his constitutional rights, and there are two exceptions to the at-will doctrine in Mississippi. Can't fire him for that, and that is either refusing to commit or reporting a criminal act. Can't do that. Other than that, he can fire him. I hope that answers your question.
We can fire him for refusing to enforce the Mississippi law.
Isn't that the point at issue here?
Well, The point at issue here, no, it's not. The point at issue here is Mr. Gibson alleges, and for purpose of this.
And
the jury found, for purpose of this, it's a fact, that he was terminated because the Mayor recommended his termination because of, you know, his dealings with the mayor's family previously. That's fine. That's carrying out his duties. That's not disputed. But again, there's no independent illegal act here.
You don't think that's an abuse of office for the mayor to fire someone because that someone had the temerity to investigate his brother who is now serving time in prison?
It may or may not be, but Mississippi law says good reason, bad reason, or no reason at all.
Yeah, but isn't what we're that looking also for is unlawful?
Well, if it's unlawful,
that's an abuse of office for the mayor. So basically in this town, the mayor can fire whoever he wants because you're never going to get to investigate his family. The mayor can commit crimes, his family can commit crimes, and that's all okay because no police officer is going to have the guts to go after that family.
No, that's not true.
That's the principle you're asking us to vindicate.
No, that's not true at all. But if, again, we're firing the police officer for engaging in some kind of legal activity and we violate his legal right, some independently unlawful or if we commit some independent unlawful act, again, if we violate his constitutional rights, and they had the First Amendment claim, they say we violated his First Amendment right, but they conceded that at summary judgment stage. Consequently, in this case, there is no independent unlawful act. As we sit here today,
this like patronage firings that the Supreme Court has said is okay.
Well, this is just like, you know, every 4 years, I guess all the U.S. attorneys submit their resignations, and or maybe 8 years, whatever it is. This happens in Mississippi municipalities every 4 years. They submit their resignations, and some are accepted and some aren't. No. And if they're allowed to do this, you're going to have a line at the courthouse door that goes on forever every time somebody doesn't get rehired.
Now, of course, this was tried by Judge Mills, who was on the Mississippi Supreme Court, and you're asking us to certify.
Well, let me address that. I'm asking you to certify if there are two reasons we footnoted just cause. In Judge Mills' opinion on post-trial motions, first of all, this whether something is unlawful depends on whether it's without right or justifiable cause. Again, we say that we don't even get to justifiable cause. In his opinion, Judge Mills, when we argued that the mayor had the right, Judge Mills cited some of the law, with all due respect, and just didn't even apply the facts of this case, just ignored our argument about Estes having the right. It's never mentioned. He goes on and talks about subjective good faith. And subjective good faith has nothing to do with the at-will doctrine in Mississippi. It has absolutely nothing to do with it. And if that's the case, we have a problem with a contradiction with the law. Again, it's good reason, bad reason, or no reason at all.
Yeah, but in response to Judge Jones' question, you commented on typical, you know, tendering of resignation. That isn't what happened here. The only two guys recommended for termination were the two guys who investigated the brother. This wasn't a new sheriff's in town, a new mayor's in town, he gets to appoint the people he wants, so these good honorable people leave, and another set of good honorable people come. You conceded that based on the jury verdict, the firing was because this police officer investigated his brother, and apparently appropriately so.
Well, again, that you may believe, and that may very well be a bad reason, but under the at-will doctrine, that's a legal reason.
Does the officer have a legal obligation under Mississippi law to enforce the law? Is he taking an oath to do that? Is he charged with that responsibility?
They take an oath to uphold the law.
Right. And when it's legal then to be fired for doing exactly that, not for not doing it, but for doing it.
Well, in this case, that is not, again, all we got here is malicious interference. We don't have an independent unlawful act. It's not even, as I stand here today, there is no, we're not arguing about an independent unlawful act that Mr. Gibson has been subjected to. He has no unlawful act here. This is strictly malicious interference. And to get to the questions seem to be focused on, they've got to have some unlawful act. We've got to violate his First Amendment right, his property interest, race to something.
My question is, it lawful to fire him for doing his job?
In this instance, the answer would be yes. That may be a bad reason. It very well may be. But under the at-will doctrine, that's a legal reason. Good, bad, or no reason at all.
So Mississippi law is that you're obligated to carry out the law of Mississippi, but under Mississippi law, you can be fired for doing it.
Well, you know, again, good reason, bad reason, or no reason at all.
Schizophrenic approach.
Well, it may be.
It would be not illegal to fire him in Texas on that basis.
It would not. That's what this law was based on, Texas, Illinois, and Virginia, and it's not illegal there. And again, they'd have to have illegal act.
Counselor, you're constantly talking about this independent act, and you're relying on Walmart versus Sturgis, but wasn't that a case of interference with prospective relations and not an existing contract? Those are two very different animals, and in Texas, I agree with you that prospective relations, definitely you need an independent tort.
But at-will employment is at-will employment.
Right.
It ain't a contract.
Pardon?
It's not a contract. It's at-will employment.
It's at-will.
Well, under Sterner versus Marathon, you can have tortious interference with at-will employment, right, in Texas, if we're going to talk about Texas.
Right. Let's go back to Morrison. Morrison holds that it is not unlawful, or I guess it is unlawful, to terminate somebody without right or justifiable cause. Now, so I don't have double negatives, let's look at, you can fire somebody, it's lawful if you have a right or justifiable cause, and now let's insert the employment at will language. So you can terminate somebody, it's lawful if you terminate them for good reason, bad reason, or no reason at all, excepting those independently considered to be unlawful. And now that is consistent with the various cases from the other jurisdictions. It's consistent with Morrison. It's consistent with the at-will doctrine. There is no independent unlawful act in this case. You may or may not like what happened here. A lot of people don't like, employment decisions, but it's completely legal. It is absolutely legal.
But the problem is you're talking about he could fire him. But this is a question of interference. If I go and interfere with somebody else's contract, even if that person has the right to get out of the contract, the fact that I brought that about is an independently tortious activity. And that's what this case is about, and that's why Sterner came out the way it did. Because, yes, the employer could fire his at-will employee, but you were not allowed to go interfere with that.
Well, you're talking about something. You're talking about a third party.
Now, yes, and you've said the mayor is a third party because he's not the one who fired him, the council is. You've made that point.
No,
yes, you have.
No, the court found as a fact that Estes was a person with responsibility over the employment of Estes. And in Morrison, skipping down to the good faith part where they're hung up on subjective good faith, if you have a right, you're not acting in good faith. You are acting in good faith. It's not bad faith. And therefore, you're privileged. And then Morrison goes on to say, one in responsibility to another's employment is acting in good faith, is privileged, which is the same thing as good faith. That's what it says.
Well, no, that's not how I read it.
I'll be happy to read it to you. But they say...
Okay,
let him read it if he wants to, please.
A person occupying a position of responsibility on behalf of another is privileged, which is another way of saying having a right.
The definition of a privilege is what brings up if he's in bad faith, that negates the privilege. That's where I was trying to address.
What I'm trying to address. But again, one occupying a position of responsibility is privileged, and therefore there is no bad faith. That's what Morrison says. The district court found as a fact that Estes was in a position of responsibility with respect to Gibson's employment. Therefore, he's privileged, and we're entitled to reversal of this jury verdict.
He didn't act in good faith.
Well, no, you're talking about subjective good faith, and that has nothing to do with...
Objective good faith.
Well, now, again... Subjective good faith has nothing to do with at-will doctrine. Good reason, bad reason, or no reason at all. It is not a up to the jury to determine whether you're acting in good faith. If that were the case, then this court or district courts would be looking over the shoulder of employers all the time to determine if your personnel decision was in good faith or not. And that's something I know this court has rendered many decisions on, saying you're not going to get into the business of doing.
All right, so thank you. We have you have a rebuttal time. Mr. Wade.
Thank you, Your Honor. May it please the court. I want to go back to a comment Judge Haynes was making there, which I think really goes to the heart of the case. When the Mississippi Supreme Court decided a case called Levins v. Campbell, it's thoroughly discussed by both sides. It recognized malicious interference even with an at-will employment contract. So when counsel says, well, under the Mississippi at-will doctrine, the employer can fire you for good reason, bad reason, or no reason at all, I've heard it so much I want to throw up. But the among the exceptions to that is, but you can sue an individual or a company who maliciously interferes with your at-will employment contract. That's what Levins v. Campbell held. And apparently I'm not familiar with these Texas cases. Your Honor, in all due respect, I'm not familiar with those, but I do think the Mississippi Supreme Court has very clearly in 7 or 8 cases set out the elements and discussed this tort of malicious interference with contract. And probably the most thorough case is one Judge Southwick wrote there that counsel keeps discussing, the Morrison case. It is a very thorough case. Contrary to what counsel said, all that Judge Southwick concluded in that case was that they had not proved any bad faith. It was a case where a chairman of the Board of Trustees was being sued because he fired the, or caused to be fired, the chief executive officer. He fired him because of alleged sexual harassment, and then he got sued. And the question was, have we shown sufficient faith, a bad faith, to overcome the privilege? And the conclusion was, did not. Going back to what Judge Hickenbotham asked, Your Honor, I think the hypothetical you asked is just about exactly like this case, except this case is probably worse. Not only had he been investigating this, no other way to describe it, he had 2 prior felonies, investigating him for rape, testified he couldn't get the cooperation of any local law enforcement because of this mayor and because the guy also had another brother that was investigative of the DA's office, and got him arrested and convicted and sent to penitentiary. He'd apparently been there for around 3 years by the time of this trial. And then on top of that, they had an incident at the mayor's nightclub. That's what really got where all the statements came about that he was going to get rid of him. Mr. Gibson went to the mayor's nightclub and got into an argument with the mayor about open smoking of marijuana in his nightclub, with the mayor trying to tell him, well, you're better off to have drugs in the nightclub than you are out on the street. And when he did that, the mayor's brother comes up to him and starts cursing Chief Gibson and tries to throw him out of the nightclub, whereupon Chief Gibson arrests the brother, and he gives the mayor a citation. Your Honor, the only point, this business about independent tort and all that, that came up for the first time on their motion for a new trial. They, in their record excerpts, they have the motion for directed verdict they moved. You can look at the jury instruction conference, all that stuff about motion, independent tort and all that that he's raising. He mentioned it for the first time in his motion for a new trial. He didn't ask for a directed verdict on that ground. He didn't submit a jury instruction. In fact, he didn't object to the only substantive jury instruction. The parties went along with that, which just quoted the Mississippi law on malicious interference and correctly said, quoting Mississippi law, that there is a privilege for a person who's a supervisor to cause somebody to be fired. There is a privilege, except in cases of bad faith. So if ever there were a case of bad faith, a situation where we have a police officer out trying to enforce the law and we have a mayor that's determined to run an outlaw nightclub and wants to retaliate because the police officers caused his brother to be investigated, would be a case of bad faith. So, Your Honor, to me, the Mississippi Supreme Court has made a very wise decision. Whether it's wise or not, it's really not for Your Honors to say, of course, but they've made a very wise inroad into the employment at will. True, you can't sue the employer. He couldn't sue the city if the city wanted to fire him for no reason, a bad reason, or because he was investigating the brother or investigating the mayor himself, he could. But if an individual causes that to be done, which is exactly what the jury found happened, then that individual that causes that can be held liable for malicious interference, even with an at-will employment contract.
I think that's a critical point, and I want to make sure I understand it. You're saying that if you have an at-will employee, you, the employer, can fire him at will, but if someone else brings that about, that's where the tortious interference case or malicious interference case comes about.
Exactly right, Your Honor.
And that's actually the facts here.
Yeah, exactly right.
Because the mayor was in a supervisory relationship, perhaps, but not the actual employer.
Right.
He works for the employer.
Exactly right. You know, he has the authority under the statute, as counsel says, to make employment recommendations, just like that president of the Board of Trustees had in Morrison to make a recommendation to fire the chief executive officer. And he can be sued if he does it in bad faith. And this court, through it was a Mississippi Court of Appeals when Judge Southwick was on that court, carefully analyzed the facts and said, you have not shown any bad faith. What counsel's trying to get Your Honors to do, even though he never raised it to the district court until the motion for a new trial stage, is to incorporate apparently some requirement that he argues under Texas law about an independent tort.
Yeah, but I mean, that is from Walmart, which is a prospective relationship, which we don't have here. We have an existing relationship. Right. I think that's a fairly critical point, even if we were to follow Texas law.
Well, Your Honor, I guess I don't feel like I have the expertise to comment on Texas law, but I'll just say that he never raised that when he was asking for a jury instruction or a directed verdict, and to me it would be really presumptuous for this court to ask the Mississippi Supreme Court to give some type of guidance, because they've written 7 or 8 cases and they repeat the same test every time, that there is a privilege absent bad faith. That's what all the cases have said.
Well, then your opponent, though, seems to define bad faith differently. So articulate for me what is the bad faith? I mean, not factually, but legally, what is the definition of bad faith?
Okay, Your Honor, First, I might preface that by saying I don't think it's an appropriate case to try to get into it, because he never submitted a definition to the district court or anything and never talked about it on directed verdict. But if I had one, I would say a reason for some reason of malice unrelated to any business purpose, something having to do with some ill will or malice unrelated to any legitimate business reason. In other words, if there were an argument, if the mayor came in there and said, well, I think he's doing a bad job, in my opinion, subjectively, I may be mistaken, but I think he's not a good officer.
Suppose the mayor fired him because he tried to date the mayor's sister and the mayor didn't like him.
That wouldn't be as strong a case as this, but I think that would be an example, Your Honor. This is much stronger because what we're talking about is frustrating the carrying out of the criminal.
Suppose the mayor decides to fire him because he's a fan of the Houston Astros instead of the
in my opinion, that's a hypothetical case that would probably qualify, but this case is much stronger because
of the criminal activity. Well, what I'm saying is, according to you, then, malice and ill will is anything you can plead.
What I'd say is malice and ill will would be generally a question for the jury, whether there's malice or ill will, unless the facts are so clear that suppose
it boils down to I like one team and you like another team.
Well, Your Honor, that's totally different.
I went to Ole Miss and you went to Mississippi State.
Okay. Your Honor, we would argue that case if it ever came up, but that's not the case here. We're talking about a case of criminal activity. We're talking about enforcing the criminal law.
But this seems to be something of a variation on the fact.
Your Honor's posing a much weaker case than what we're presenting to the court today, and how Your Honors would decide that case doesn't really have anything to do.
Well, help us out.
In a future hypothetical
other than saying it's just a jury question.
Well, I'm not smart enough to come up with a test, but if I were
Oh, you're very smart, Mr. Wade. We know. Don't tell me that.
Well, Your Honor, if I were going to do a test, here's what I would say. Some reason unrelated to any arguable business reason, something having nothing to do with some legitimate.
Well, then where's employment at will?
You still have employment at will against the employer. See, this protects, Your Honor, employers from suits by runaway juries
employers. Yeah, but this looks one way when you're suing a city and a mayor. It looks another way if you're suing a little company or a solo practitioner who's an LLP. Oh, well, I'm just suing the lawyer. I'm not suing the LLP.
Well, Your Honor, I mean, the Mississippi Supreme Court has made the distinction. You can sue an individual for malicious interference, and that's what the Mississippi Supreme Court has said.
And Judge Southwick goes round and round and round about what can malice mean and what can what can all this mean.
He goes on and on, and his ultimate conclusion is there's not enough evidence of it in that case to present a jury question.
Well, but the point is, it's a hard thing to determine, isn't it?
Your Honor, I guess, I mean, everything's hard to determine, but that's why we have juries. That's why we
Well, it's a hard thing to determine consistent with the doctrine of employment at will.
No, Your Honor,
because a lot of employers do a lot of things for reasons that are not strictly related to people get tired of working with each other sometimes.
Well, Your Honor, here's the problem. The Mississippi Supreme Court says that we have the tort of malicious interference and we also have employment at will. That's what the Mississippi Supreme Court has said. That's the law in Mississippi. I mean, if that's not a good doctrine and Your Honor thinks we ought to have Mississippi employment at will.
No, I'm trying to make a finer point than that, please. All right? Goes back to what I said before, sir, and that is this appears to be an egregious case. But how do you set a rule of law that only captures egregious cases and doesn't capture any employee who gets fired because the boss is tired of working with her?
Your Honor, if the Court please, the way the Mississippi Supreme Court has done it is they have continued the employment at will doctrine, and they have said that if a third party maliciously interferes with a contract and it's not in good faith, it's in bad faith, that individual can be sued for that tort. That's what the Mississippi Supreme Court has said. And the protection that we have for wrong, you know, if we have cases that don't come out correctly or don't reach a just result, we have the jury system, we have motions. Notwithstanding the verdict, we have reviews of the juries. That's the way that.
So the city council here could you know, you concede under Mississippi law could have fired them directly if they'd not been just on their own motion.
Yes, that'd be a more difficult question if we'd sued some councilman. Say that'd be a more difficult question than this probably. But the employment at will doctrine is not affected by this case. The city, the entity, the employer cannot be sued.
Well, who has the power to hire and fire here? The council?
That's right. The parties treated.
And they can fire them for any reason.
Yes, I think that's a fair statement.
And so any reason at all, but not if that the sheriff says that I really don't.
Well, let me get into this.
Winks at him, so I really don't
There are some exceptions to the employment will doctrine. Primarily, they can't fire for refusing to commit an illegal act and under the McCarran case. And this arguably could have come within that. We haven't argued that. We didn't sue for that tort. But arguably, that could have because, he was trying to give the mayor a citation for keeping the club open after midnight deadline. And it's arguable that, you know, he could have come in some exception, but we didn't sue for that. We're not making that contention.
Well, I'm saying, though, what you're saying, but the council could, even though they decide they don't like him, he may enforcing the law, maybe they don't like the idea that he's being too aggressive in enforcing the law. But they, under at will, they can fire him.
Yes, for purpose of this case.
And they're still not liable that if somebody makes a suggestion to them that they ought to do it. And they say, well, I will agree with that, and they decide to fire him. They still have a right to do it, right?
Yes, sir.
The individual who makes the suggestion then hadn't interfered with very much, has he?
Well, that's true. That's the Mississippi Supreme Court said it applies even to an employment at will relationship. In other words, he wouldn't have any claim against the entity itself, but an individual who causes a termination for malicious reasons can be sued under. That's the basic rule in the Mississippi Supreme Court.
Well, but I suppose that what the guy that's fired was doing was not, he was not working very hard, and this guy called and said, I think you ought to get rid of that guy because he doesn't work. Has he interfered? It turns out that he never liked the guy, and so he's very quick to point out that he didn't work.
Your Honor, for court, please. Your Honor, as Judge Jones did, has a much more difficult case. That could well be a jury issue as to whether he was just doing it for some malicious reason other than he genuinely thought he wasn't doing his job. But that's a much more difficult case than when he does it and the jury's found that he does it because of the mayor's participation in criminal activity and is investigating his brother for criminal activity. This is a much easier case than any case Your Honor is suggesting there.
But the council's the council's right to terminate for any reason is qualified by the source of information it gets.
Now, the council has the right to terminate for any reason. Any individual who maliciously causes the termination can be held liable under the rule in Levins v. Campbell, as long as it's not privileged, as long as it's not in bad faith.
Suppose somebody comes to the mayor and says, we think this man has been forcing himself on women that he stopped for driving violations. And the mayor says, I can't do any. I've got to be very careful. I don't want us to all get sued for 1983 violations. I've got to fire him right now.
Let me see what I'm saying. You're saying the result of this case may cause the mayor not to fire somebody for legitimate reasons?
Possibly so.
That would be true in any employment discrimination case. You know, what if you rule for the plaintiff, then the plaintiff may be afraid to fire anybody because he's afraid he'll be sued for age discrimination.
Well, that's what the end product is of the extension of too many exceptions to at-will employment. And then we get like France, but that's not our concern here, of course. But
well, to me, Your Honor, our only issue to me is whether we were within the rule of Levins v. Campbell, and everybody said that we were, and it went to the jury, and the arguments counsel's making now were never made to the court about this independent tort requirement. I might say that I disagree with him when he says, we dismissed our First Amendment case largely because of Garcetti. We didn't think we could survive a Garcetti motion. But you could make an argument First Amendment speech here because he did get into it with the mayor about whether you need to have drugs in your club.
Well, I'm afraid we can't get into that now, though, for the same reason.
I understand. But counsel's saying, well, there's no independent wrong here.
You don't want us to draw an inference one way or the other about what happened with the claim, is what you're saying. You don't want us to draw an inference that you couldn't prove it.
We conceded it. We didn't think we could prove it. It's irrelevant.
And so you think it's out of the case just as Judge Jones said.
That's what I would think, Your Honor. Nothing further, Your Honor. Thank you. I didn't mean to be disrespectful, Your Honor.
I know that. We've had our history. That's okay. Thank you. Mr. Friedman?
I want to address two or three things. First, this is Section 21827 and Attorney General Opinion 91-0183 from March 28, 1997. The mayor appoints department heads subject to confirmation by the council and removes department heads in his discretion. I want to also...
Was Mr. Gibson a department head?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
I thought he was a police officer.
No, he's department head. He filed, and he was head of the police department, but it said department head. Also, in Morrison, I think the question was asked about the definition of good faith. And during the argument with Mr. Wade, I think everybody went round and round about good faith and subjective good faith. In Morrison, at numbered paragraph 29, I can read it if you'd like, but I cite you to it. The bottom line is, bad faith exception to the privilege is no more than the parenthetical that in Irving, that when an intentional act occurs whose purpose is to cause injury or business without right or good cause, then there is malice. A person occupying a position of responsibility on behalf of another is privileged, which is another word for having a right. And in his opinion, the district judge specifically held, as a fact, it is true that Estes was in a position of responsibility in regards to Gibson's employment status.
I'm sorry, I'm still back on your attorney general opinion.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Was that, if he could just fire him and just let him go because he's a department head, why didn't he just do that? Why did he go to the city council?
Well, because,
why did he say that he had to go to the city council?
Because of the timing. If it was during the term, he'd go fire him. But this happened right at the, this is the same thing where I think we started here. At the end of a four-year term, all the employees are supposed to submit their resignations, and then the mayor goes and makes a recommendation to the new council about who he wants hired. That's what happened here. So in reality, this, you know, we can play word games. I'm not sure this is really a termination. It's a failure to rehire if you really want to know the truth. But
I mean, you haven't argued that.
Well, I understand.
That's new. This attorney general opinion's new.
Well, that's because it just came up. We actually cited to the same type authority, a different statute in the same code section in our brief. I think it's footnote 5 of our original brief. For the same type proposition. I was just trying to answer Mr. Wade's question, or the question had come up. The fact is, if you're subjective good faith, which is what the back and forth with Mr. Wade, a lot of it was about, has no place in at-will doctrine. If it did, the courthouses would be filled up every time somebody was terminated. They'd be alleging that they were terminated in bad faith. And that is simply not what the at-will doctrine is about.
Well, you're saying that I'm a little confused with that attorney general's opinion. What you're saying, the the mayor here could have ordinarily done the firing himself as an at-will employee, but the rehiring at the end of the term belonged to the responsibility belonged to the council?
On his recommendation. He recommends the council approves or does not approve the recommendation. That's just the way statutorily it works.
Well, that's what I'm asking.
However, again, so that there's no misunderstanding, as a finding of fact, the district court held that he is a person, Mayor Estes, was a person in a position of responsibility in regards to Gibson's employment status.
So it's an interference with a prospective relationship rather than a termination of one.
Well, I guess that's essentially what we've got. I guess we're back to Texas now. But we've argued this is a termination case all along. And
you haven't argued it as a rehiring case, respectfully, Counselor. I just did not see that anywhere.
No, we haven't.
So I think this is a little late to do.
What he's arguing is that he's a person in a position of responsibility, as Judge Southwick wrote about it in the Morrison case.
And that's a finding of fact.
And that's all.
Yeah, that's a finding of fact.
So you're not arguing it as a rehire?
No, I'm.
Because you did say that. And
well,
I'm
I said
just,
it,
right,
but I'm fine. Just trying to make the point that we didn't hire, and I quite frankly, I think it would be sort of playing with words, whether we've terminated him or didn't rehire him or whatever. I'm not sure it really matters when it gets down to it. But so are there any other questions?
Don't think so. We're thoroughly confused. No.
I guess we need to certify. The final shot.
No, sir. Thank you.
Yes, ma'am.
I don't think Mississippi wants to certify every time we're thoroughly confused.
Final case of this afternoon.